This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Well, it's quite a thrill to be able to work at the very radio station that you grew up listening to and it doing what you heard so many others doing when you were a child, which in my case is hosting a live and local overnight radio show. It's such an honor to be able to call your employer, 77 WABC, the very same employer that has employed such great talk radio talents like Bob Grant, Rush Limbaugh, Mike Gallagher, Jay Diamond, and the list goes on and on. You know what a legendary, Alan Colmes, you know what a legendary lineup of talkers we've had over the years. But it's also a real honor to be able to call as colleagues some of the finest broadcast journalists and some of the finest radio talk show hosts that I've ever known. And a gentleman who's been a friend of mine for at least 15 or 16 years, who I've been following for decades, is now the person that gets to be my lead-in on a daily basis. I can't tell you what a trip that is. He is one of the few people in radio that's as nice as he is talented, that's as knowledgeable as he is witty, and who is just killing it every day at midnight. He's doing some of the finest radio I have heard, especially on local issues, in quite some time. And while all he wants to do is go home right now, I recognize the fact that when it's debate night in America or in New York City, there is nobody that knows more about the ins and outs of how to run a debate and how to analyze a debate than Dominic Carter. So I've conscripted him to stay on with me for a few more minutes. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, my brother, Frank Morano. How are you?
I am doing well. A big question on a personal level before we discuss the politics of the day is, how are you adjusting to these hours?
It's unique. It's different. you get used to not having as much sleep. But I feel exactly the same way that you just expressed towards me. I feel towards you because I really learn a lot. I really do from listening to your show.
Well, you're very kind, and you've always been so kind. Even when I was on Sunday mornings, Sunday night into Monday morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, I said, "Oh, Dominic, can you come on? Can you come on?" And you've never said no ever to anything I've ever asked you to moderating events. And you've always been just such a big booster and supporter of my career.
And the reason why I've never said no is because what you're doing every night, Frank Morano, I really feel this strongly, is a public service. You're doing a public service every night. And we have to appreciate. I feel that in life, we don't appreciate all the good things that we have sometimes. And I feel that you are a treasure for the tri-state area. Your show. You deal with topics from UFO to politics to regular interviews to celebrities, all types of things.
Well, you're very kind to say that. And again, privately, you've been just as generous with your praise and with your support as you have been effusive in your praise over the air. But all I could do while I was watching the Republican primary debate from 7 to 8 was think of you, because you've been in that position on the very channel that was hosting last night's Republican debate for a long, long time. Before we get to your take on the debate itself, talk to me about the race in general. I've been enjoying a lot of the interviews that you've been doing. Catherine Garcia, Eric Adams, Ray McGuire's wife, a whole bunch of folks, not only in the mayor's race, but in the Manhattan DA's race. You had my friend Sal Albanese on recently doing a great interview with him. The conventional wisdom is that essentially it doesn't matter who the Republican nominee is. The Times published that. I heard that on the radio coming in. Bill de Blasio said it's just a sideshow. It doesn't matter who the Republican nominee is, because whoever wins the Democratic primary on June 22nd, that's tantamount to winning the general election, because the city has just gotten so Democratic. Do you share that view?
Under normal times, I would say yes. But there is nothing that is normal about the year 2021. We have COVID. We have out-of-control crime. with those two issues alone, it is enough, Frank, for the right Republican that can resonate, right? And it takes often, I'll never forget the primary between Ed Koch and Dave Dinkins. Mm-hmm. Koch was running for his fourth term.
Was that your first mayoral race that you covered?
I believe so. But what changed, so Koch was doing quite well. And with the snap of a finger, you had Yousef Hawkins and Bensonhurst. Mm. And the tide turned against Ed Koch. What I'm trying to say to you is that anything can happen. So here's what's going to happen. The Democratic nominee is going to try and run a Rose Garden strategy. They're going to try and ignore the Republican nominee. For argument's sake, let's say the nominee is Curtis Sliwa. There is no ignoring Curtis Sliwa.
That's for sure.
Because if you try to ignore him, he will stand outside your office with a bullhorn and do whatever he has to do. So you're going to have to engage him. And once you engage him, I am just saying to you, I believe that the person that wins the Democratic primary will be the next mayor, but anything can happen.
So the debate itself, I would characterize much similar to the one that you moderated here at WABC between these two men as a bit of a dumpster fire. I'm a boxing fan, and I thought a lot of this debate was essentially two fighters locking up the whole time and not really landing a lot of punches, essentially a lot of cross talk, a lot of insults, not very many substantive issue disparities between the two men. If people did not hear last night's mayoral debate between Curtis Lee and Sliwa and Fernando Mateo, and just so everybody knows, so my cards are on the table, Curtis has been not only a friend and a co-worker of mine for a long time, but he and I ran a political party together, and I am 100% supporting Curtis, and I've been helping his campaign a bit, not a bit, significantly behind the scenes. So just so everybody knows where I'm coming from, I'm going to do my best to analyze the race objectively, but you got to know where I'm coming from. Here's a little bit of the New York One debate with Curtis Sliwa and Fernando Mateo.
Wow. What revisionism when the NYPD closed your club, La Marina, in Washington Heights, after all the complaints about drug dealings, crime on the presence, noise. You publicly said on Hot 97, the morning radio program, that all those cops responsible for that, they should have their heads cut off like snakes. That's in your own words, Fernando Mateo. You were running a criminal enterprise. All of a sudden, you've discovered you have love for the police.
So, Dominic, let me ask you this. So far, the two polls that we've seen on this race, on the Republican primary race, that is, show Curtis with a heavy, heavy lead, 30 or 40 points. With that in mind, is it unwise for Curtis to be attacking Mateo? Should he just sort of ignore him and sort of take the high road? Or was he forced to do that because of Mateo's attacks on him?
Well, one, Frank, I think that if Mr. Sliwa didn't respond, people would say, what's wrong with Curtis? Is he under the weather? You have to understand, it's his nature that if he's punched, he's going to punch back.
Like Chris Rock says, the tiger went tiger.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. The tiger went tiger. And so I don't see anything wrong with Mr. Sliwa, and I am saying this objectively, with Mr. Sliwa going after Mr. Mateo. Frankly, there are some legitimate issues to go after Mr. Mateo on. Mm. Some very legitimate issues. If the police closed your restaurant nightclub for drug activity, and all the other stuff that goes along with that, and the complaints from the community, that's a legitimate issue. And the pay-for-play scandal.
What did you think of the format itself? Much like the Democratic primary debate, this featured the two men not side-by-side as they were here at Stage 77, but instead in a virtual format, basically a Zoom meeting.
Big mistake. I think that most debates, I really feel this, that they take on a life of the personality of the moderator or the news organization mm-hmm. that's doing it. So, for example, I would not want to do a debate where they're not in front of each other. And in a debate, when I moderate them, whether it's been Hillary Clinton or Bloomberg, my job is to keep it moving along. Let you two candidates work it out. But I will tell you this one thing, something that really, really bothered me. And it questioned my objectivity that I couldn't get involved. WABC debate. So I've known Curtis's son since he was a little boy.
Sure.
Right? Since he's a little
boy.
Same
here.
Right. And when Mr. Mateo went on the attack that I did not know was going to happen against Mr. Sliwa's son, I wanted to react, but I couldn't react because that would show a bias. And so I let it go on, but it really, really bothered me that he attacked his son.
And we're going to give listeners a chance to weigh in as well. If you have thoughts about last night's debate or questions about the debate or the race in general, if you didn't see it, I'm going to do my best to answer them. 800-848-9222. It's 1-800-848-WABC. So interesting the point that you raised, because obviously Curtis used to be on with you on Inside City Hall when you were hosting, and you've co-hosted shows with him here at WABC. Fernando Mateo tried to make a bit of an issue of this when he was at the WABC debate. We can't ignore the fact that Curtis was a radio talk show host on WABC for a long time.
Right.
And then here he is at WABC as a political candidate. New York won, sort of the same thing. He didn't have the same juice at New York One that he did at WABC. But for 15, 16 years, first with Richard Goodstein from The Village Voice and then with Herson Barrero, he was a weekly commentator for New York One. There he is at New York One as a candidate. What kind of a challenge is that for you as a moderator, or Errol Lewis as a moderator, or the media organization in general, to go from treating a colleague, former colleague, to now a candidate just like everybody else?
It's very, very tough. Curtis Sliwa is a personal friend of mine, and I had to moderate a debate where he's now running for mayor. So you're forced to cut the umbilical cord. So for a few weeks, I had no contact with Mr. Sliwa at all, because it dictated that we had to separate the relationship. And so Curtis Sliwa is one of the guys, Frank, as you know, that brought me into radio.
Absolutely.
And so here I am moderating a debate. So it's very, very hard. And so you have to bend over backwards to be fair to the candidate that's against Mr. Sliwa. But at the same time, you got to make sure that you're not bending over so far that you're unfair to Mr. Sliwa.
Right.
It's a very, very tough position. And so, for example, Mr. Sliwa held a campaign event the day before the debate. I wanted to go, but I thought it would be highly inappropriate for the moderator of the debate to be at a campaign event of Mr. Sliwa's.
1-800-848-9222 if you want to comment. Let me hear another cut from last night's New York One debate for the Republican race for mayor, Fernando Mateo and Curtis Sliwa.
And today we're going to take the mask off his face and show every Republican out there who the true Republican is here. I don't understand why I have an appointment and an opponent running as a Republican. He's never been a Republican. And that's what New York City needs to know. If you want change, you want honest change. You don't want lies. You don't want fabricated stories. You don't want people that are taking credit for things they've never done.
We've seen a lot of races, Dominic, locally, nationally even, where the primary sound bites, the negative attacks that one candidate has on another, end up being general election sound bites. We saw this with Al Gore and Michael Dukakis when Gore brought up Willie Horton. We saw it with Ted Kennedy attacking Jimmy Carter, as attacks that were subsequently used by Reagan in 1980. We've seen it again and again. We've seen the kind of attacks that Fernando Ferrer leveled on Mark Green, inured to Mike Bloomberg's benefit in 2001. And we can list literally thousands of examples on a local level and a national level. Are the attacks that Mateo leveled against Curtis last night and throughout the campaign, including the debate you moderated, are those going to become Democratic talking points if this mayoral election becomes competitive?
I'm glad you brought that up. Under a normal circumstance, the answer would be yes. But if you're the Democratic nominee, they've got to be very careful with Curtis Sliwa, because it's very easy to fall into a trap where you're now in his playground area. He's not, if he wins the nomination, and I believe that Curtis Sliwa is going to win the Republican nomination, we're headed into, Frank, uncharted territory. I really believe that. And anything can happen. I am telling you, man, remember, You can dodge, you can run away from Mr. Sliwa, but you're going to have to debate him. It's part of the campaign finance program.
Yeah, and it looks like Curtis is very close, if he hasn't already, to qualifying for that matching funds program, which mandates that his opponent would debate him. We'll take your calls on this in a minute. 800-848-9222, 9 open lines, 1-800-848-WABC. My final question, Dominic, I'm not trying to be incendiary or controversial in asking this question, but you can't avoid it, right? John Madden goes on television to analyze a football game. People ask him about the performance of the football coach. People are certainly curious, as you, having been in the seat of the moderator that moderated tonight, how did you think Errol Lewis did, and Brian Lehr for that matter, in terms of moderating this debate between Mateo and Curtis? What kind of grade would you give him? What could he have done better?
I would give, Brian Lehr on WNYC Radio, he's been around a long time, mm-hmm. interviews the mayor every week. I would give him a B, and I guess I would give Mr. Lewis, Errol Lewis, the same grade, a B. But you have to understand, I was the first political anchor at New York One. Errol Lewis is now the second. We are fundamentally two different people.
Sure.
I'm more outgoing. I'm more confrontational. I'm more in your face. And he's a more laid-back type guy. And so he wants to focus solely on substance, and that's commendable. So when they start going at each other, you know, he tries to jump in right away, where I will go, well, each man for himself, and you know. So I guess I would give him a B, but we're just very different in terms of our styles.
I remember when I've been on a panelist on panels that you've moderated, whether it was on New York One or on RNN, you would say to me and the other panelists, you would say, I'm staying out of this one. I want you guys to mix it up. I'm going to throw out the topic, then you guys go at it.
And that's my approach.
Right.
That's my approach.
And I think that's what people want to hear in debates, especially with people running for office.
So I did a debate several years ago with Hillary Clinton, and it was the same thing. You know, and I said to I've done it with Bloomberg. I said to Bloomberg against Bill Thompson, listen, you guys are on your own. If you think you're going to get a lifeline from me to save you in the middle of this live debate, it's not going to happen, because I feel that the public has a right to see the true candidate. So I just want to say that I think that Mr. Sliwa is going to win the nomination. And then, you know, let's say it's Eric Adams. Adams is going to try and run. Sliwa's going to be in his face.
It's going to be very, very interesting. 800-848-9222. Now, you are filling in today, technically, Thursday, for Greg Kelly from 1 to 3.
Correct.
Great. Well, anything Correct. Special planned that you can share with us?
We will talk to journalist Steve Adubato about...
Terrific. Steve's a good friend.
Yes, and he's a good guy. We'll talk to him about LeBron James, in which Mr. Adubato feels that Mr. James is failing in terms of leadership. We'll also talk to Rabbi David Niederman, rabbi of the Brooklyn community, about all the attacks, which are disgusting and horrible against the Jewish community. And so we're going to have a couple of great guests. But what I'm really looking forward to, so we're going to do that tomorrow, mm-hmm. and you're going to be on Friday.
Friday, right? In that slot.
Right, the yep. same slot. I'm really looking forward to Friday morning. As you know, Bernie and Sid, those guys are the absolute best at what they do.
Incredible audience numbers.
And people don't understand how hard it is to do that type of job.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm in their spot on Friday.
Solo.
And I'm like, Lord, help me. What do I do filling in for Bernie and Sid?
Well, good. So I am in solo in the show that I do with Juliet, the WABC Early News, Friday, 5 to 6:30. So you're going to have to come in just as Sid does in the last portion of that show and give us a preview of what's coming up.
Fantastic.
Dominic, it is always a treat. And sincerely, I've always really admired your work.
It's
always
the same way.
A treat to be able to see you at night as I'm preparing and you preparing.
And I just have a problem, because now driving home, I'm going to be listening to you the entire way home. Then I'm going to get home and listen to you at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I've got to be back on the air at 1 p.m.
Dominic, I will see you tomorrow. Catch him Thursday, filling in for Greg Kelly from 1 to 3. Thank you, Dominic.
Thank you. It's always great being with you, man.
We'll take your calls next and play you some more audio from the debate. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. I got a call last night in the middle of the debate. I started out live tweeting the debate, and then I got a call suddenly from Arthur Idala. And Arthur said, what's going on? I hear from my mother that you hurt your back carrying an air conditioner. Now, that is true. I did hurt my back carrying an air conditioner. Thankfully, that pain has gone away. But if that pain lingered, I would have run to the Trinity Rehab Physical Rehabilitation Center. It's not actually physical rehabilitation. It's physical therapy. But it's not your father's physical therapy. It's state-of-the-art stuff. They use an EPAP machine. It's similar to what they use to break up kidney stones and scar tissue. So if you have back pain, neck pain, knee pain, tennis elbow, shoulder tendonitis, plantar fasciitis. In just 3 5-minute sessions, you could be virtually pain-free. There isn't any prescription needed to get started, and they're located all over New Jersey. Clifton, Paramus, Wayne, Short Hills, Emerson, East Windsor, Shrewsbury, and Woodbridge. Call Trinity Rehab today at 800-518-0977. That's Trinity Rehab, 800-518-0977. You can also go to trinity-rehab.com. Your calls on the debate next. 800-848-9222 or the state of the mayor's race, or if you have questions about it, 800-848-WABC. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.